Radio Prague News.
The Daily Pravo reports that budget cuts may leave the police unable to properly investigate crimes. The Supreme Audit Office has found major problems in the way the Education Ministry prepared state leaving exams, and the Confederation of Trade Unions has called for a demonstration in Prague on April 21st to protest government cuts and austerity measures. The Daily Pravo reports that the police may close at least a quarter of their stations and investigate less crimes as a result of planned government cuts. Based on a risk analysis that the paper claims to possess, the police will have to dismiss up to 10,000 officers, or a quarter of the force, between 2013 and 2014. The analysis goes on to state that the police would be forced into a defensive strategy and would simply document crimes more often, rather than actively investigating them, and warns of a subsequent rise in crime. The government's current plan calls for cutting the police budget by some 4 billion crowns next year and by 2.5 billion more in 2014. The Education Ministry failed to create any basic requirements for assessing whether state leaving exams met their objectives, the Supreme Audit Office has reported. The report, published on Monday, also says that the central authority responsible for preparing the exams concluded contracts for exam assessment systems without knowing their final cost, thus wasting large amounts of money. Moreover, the office found that the technical infrastructure for the exams has only been paid for until 2014, meaning the continuation of the exams past that point will require further expenses. The Education Ministry expended 917 million crowns on introducing the exams, roughly a third of which came from EU funds. The Confederation of Trade Unions has called for a demonstration in Prague on April 21st to protest government cuts and austerity measures. The umbrella organization's complaints focus on measures such as increased VAT, slowing pension growth, and the dismissal of public sector employees. School sector unions will likely also protest. The unions are calling on like-minded initiatives to join the demonstration, which is to take place at Prague's Wenceslas Square, and have not yet ruled out strikes and other means of pressuring the government. Union demonstrations against reforms last May drew some 40,000 people and preceded a mass transport sector strike. Now turning briefly to the weather, conditions over the coming days are expected to be partly cloudy to sunny, with highs of around 10 degrees Celsius. My name's Christian Falvey. That's the end of the news.
Hello and welcome. You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech Radio, and my name is Sarah Borufka. Coming up in today's program, an analyst comments on the recent anti-government protests. We have all the latest sports news, and in one-on-one, Leos Valka, who used to work in the construction industry, explains why he put millions of dollars of his own money into founding the Docks Modern Art Gallery here in Prague.
It was a pure interest in seeing this kind of institution happening in Czech Republic, in Prague, which is probably very idealistic.
All that and more coming up, so please do stay with us. Thousands of people gathered for anti-government protests following a call from the heterogeneous protest group Holešovská výzva, or Holešovská appeal. Among their main demands is the resignation of the current government, as well as a new law that would introduce automatic referenda. Analysts say that the demonstrations, which last week were held not only in Prague, but also in cities across the country, could herald a new era of escalating public frustration with the government's policies and harsh austerity measures. Political pundit Jiří Pehe speaks about the aims of the new protest movement and its significance.
The main demand of the Holešovská výzva is to somehow get rid of the current government and force the president to step down, but in more general terms to establish a government of experts and also, if possible, to, let's say, enrich the current democratic system by strong elements of direct democracy.
And how realistic would you say is it that their demands in any form are implemented?
I don't think that Holešovská výzva is very realistic. It's one of the initiatives that I think really originates in a high level of frustration in Czech society with government politics, but more generally frustration with the democratic system, which people who have joined this initiative see as corrupt. They explicitly talk about corruption and need to fight corruption. So I think that it is, in a way, an exclamation mark, this initiative, but not really very realistic in practical terms.
You mentioned that they are feeding on the current frustration with corruption in the country. What does it say about the political situation in the Czech Republic that Czechs who are not really known for taking to the streets to voice their opinion in recent months have been doing so more frequently?
Analysts and observers of Czech politics have warned for some time that something like Holešovská výzva could be coming, that the level of frustration among ordinary citizens very high, that they have no way to express their feelings about what the government is doing but protest, and that in fact there is a high potential for initiatives with a strongly populist appeal, which will have no clear program but basically will ask for the demolition or destruction of the current democratic system. And this is exactly what's happening. The government is not very responsive, and it really is not trying to engage in any kind of dialogue with the society, the opposition, about its reforms and cuts. And this is the kind of situation which could be potentially explosive, where people really don't see any other way but take to the streets.
And yesterday on Czech TV, Finance Minister Miroslav Kalousek has said that the protesters and their demands are at odds with basic principles of democracy. How productive do you think is this stance, and do you think it is a valid assessment of this current protest movement?
If you analyze the text of Holešovská výzva, then one could agree with Minister Kalousek that this movement has strong anti-democratic elements or dimensions built into it. On the other hand, one has to see that the government doesn't really behave always in a very democratic way either, that it really ignores protests from the people, it ignores the opposition, it pushes through its so-called reforms in a way that many people consider anti-democratic. And on top of that, it institutes more and more cuts and reforms in a situation in which there are high levels of corruption everywhere, and so people feel that they are basically made victims by the government of this of their efforts to reform the economy.
And lastly, how do you expect the situation to develop? Do you think the protests and the frustration will further escalate?
My feeling is that Leszowska Wisła may continue in some form, but it will not become a mass movement simply because its demands are, in my opinion, too confused and they don't offer any clear alternative. So I would see this initiative as kind of initiative which may stir things up and maybe prepare ground for other movements.
That was political analyst Jiří Pehe speaking there about the recent anti-government protests. And if you have an opinion to share on this issue, we would of course appreciate it if you weighed in on Facebook. You can do so by liking Radio Prague on Facebook and becoming one of our followers. And now for the latest in sports news, including plenty of hockey, with Vítkovice keeping their hopes for the quarterfinals alive with a victory over Pardubice on the weekend. Jan Wellinger has more.
And we begin first with hockey. Vítkovice trounced opponents Pardubice in their Game 6 quarterfinal in the Tipsport Extraliga, winning by a score of 6-1. In the win, Vítkovice, who got goals from Klimek, Paul, Punchokat, as well as Ujčík, who had a timely hat-trick, evened the series and forced a deciding Game 7 to be played on Tuesday evening. In the quarterfinals, clubs Kometa Brno and Plzeň are each a win away from advancing to the next round. Brno leads Sparta Prague 3-2 and will face the Prague club later on Monday. Plzeň, meanwhile, lead Zlín by the same margin and could also wrap things up later in the day. Liberec, meanwhile, have already made it to the next round after eliminating Českie Budějovice 4-1 in their series. Overseas in the NHL on Sunday, the Edmonton Oilers' Aleš Hemský was named the first star in his team's game against Phoenix. The player got 6 shots off against the Phoenix goalie, scoring once to give the club a 2-0 lead. Phoenix, however, came back and spoiled the night for the Oilers and Hemský, edging the Canadian team 3-2 in a penalty shootout. In other action, Washington goalie Michal Neuwirth earned his first assist of the season after he deflected the puck and it was picked up by Alexander Ovechkin, who scored against Chicago. The assist, though, was one of the few bright moments of the evening for the Czech goalie, who allowed 5 goals by the Blackhawks. The final score was 5-2. The Winnipeg Jets also suffered a defeat. They lost 4-3 against Carolina, with Jets' Ondřej Pavelec in goal. He stopped 31 shots by the Hurricane, but it wasn't enough. In football, Liberec got a little bit of a scare against Olomouc at the weekend, trailing the home team in the first half by a score of 1-0, before turning on the goals in the second. Although the game was tied at 2-2 in the 61st minute, Liberec added 2 more for a final score of 4-2 to snatch all 3 points and remain now within reach of Sparta, who defeated Ostrava 2-0 on Friday. In the league, Plzeň are in third place on 40 points, having defeated Jablonec 2-0. And in international football, Chelsea FC with Czech goalkeeper Petr Cech were drawn against the Portuguese side Benfica Lisbon in the quarterfinals of the Champions League. The first leg is scheduled for the end of March in Lisbon, while the second is to be played in London in the first week of April. Petr Cech welcomed the draw, but warned Benfica was a strong opponent that had knocked out Russia's football club Zenit. And Chelsea secured a spot in the Champions League in the last 16 when on Wednesday last week they defeated Italy's Napoli 4-1 in extra time. A very memorable game. They had lost 3-1 in the first leg in Naples, so they ended up winning there on aggregate. That's all the sport for today.
That was Jan Wellinger with the latest sports news there. Thank you very much for that, Jan. Now we meet Leos Valka, one of the people behind the prestigious Docks Modern Art Gallery in Prague. He has sunk millions of dollars of his own money into the project, and he tells Ian Willoughby why in this week's edition of One on One.
Leos Valka is one of the founders of the Docks Center for Contemporary Art in Prague's Holešovice district. In just a few years, it's become one of the most important institutions of its kind in Central and Eastern Europe. Valka has a perhaps surprising background for such a significant figure in the Czech art world. For several years, he ran a firm in Australia doing maintenance work on high-rise buildings. When we spoke at his office at Docks, we discussed, among other things, the gallery's genesis and its relationship with official bodies. But first, I asked Leos Valka why emigrate to Australia in the early 1980s.
It was 1981. I simply didn't believe that there will ever be a change in a political situation, so I basically gave up and decided to move elsewhere.
And why Australia in particular?
Well, it was more of a romantic notion that if emigration at all, which I was, I didn't want to emigrate, I thought I will never emigrate, but then one day just decision happened and I wanted to make it like a real emigration, not to Austria, not to Germany, not to Europe. I thought if I'm going, then I would like to go to a serious distance.
And you set up a company doing work on skyscrapers and high buildings. How did you get into that area of business? Had you been a mountain climber?
Yes, I used to be a rock climber, more rock climber than mountain climber. And this was a logical extension of what we used to do here. I used to run a small group of people working on churches and high-rise buildings. Not that there were so many high-rise buildings at the time, but still there were some. So, and there were many, many people doing exactly the same thing.
I read that you worked also on the famous Sydney Opera House. What did you do on the building?
Well, we did some documentation work and we took some samples and we designed access method for the total restoration of the external cladding, ceramic tile cladding on the Opera House.
Your company was successful in Australia, and I believe it's still running. Why did you decide to come back here in the mid-1990s?
Well, it's actually quite a long story, but I probably made this decision long before I realized it, because when I talked to a clairvoyant, whom I met by chance on the street, or actually I went to his little shop, and he told me that I should go back to Europe, that Australia is nice, but it's not for me. And as soon as he said it, I realized that he was right.
All that time when you were working in the construction industry, were you greatly interested in art? Were you collecting?
Well, I've never collected anything, but I was always interested in art, architecture and design, and always visiting galleries and museums and design shows. So for me, it was always part of my life.
Docks here opened 3.5 years ago or so. How did this whole idea come about to build this contemporary art center here?
It wasn't planned. It wasn't a whole life dream or nothing like that. I was involved in small-scale development when I was building residential units, and I was looking for a suitable place for typical lofts, which means classical industrial lofts. And I found the object, and the object was fantastic and was extremely suitable for this kind of project, but I also realized that it's even more suitable for gallery.
You have said quite a few times in interviews that you have personally, as one of four investors, put 50 million crowns or more into Docks. That's over $2.5 million. What has been your motivation in that, given that you're unlikely to in any way recoup the money?
It was a pure interest in seeing this kind of institution happening in Czech Republic, in Prague, which is probably very idealistic and also very unusual for Prague. And that's one of the reasons why it's very difficult to actually explain in a way which would be believable to most our countrymen and authorities, especially Prague municipalities and Ministry of Culture, that there is simply no other motive than seeing this kind of things happening in Prague, which for them, I'm afraid, is completely inconceivable.
And for people who don't know, Dux, what's your model here? You have more than one exhibition running at the same time, all the time.
The idea is to have at least few, usually 3 to 4, sometimes 5, even more projects going on simultaneously. They represent a kind of spectrum, so visitors have the opportunity to at least to enjoy something. If they are not completely happy with everything, there is a chance that they will like something or they will appreciate something.
Your biggest competition, if I can speak about competition, one would imagine would be the National Gallery's Modern Art Gallery at the Veliteržný Palace, which isn't very far from here. In recent years, that institution developed a kind of reputation for being moribund and uninteresting under the leadership of the head of the gallery in those days, Milan Knížák. Did it benefit, Dux, that the National Gallery's Modern Art Gallery was doing so badly in those years?
I'm not sure. It would be quite logical to say that if there is not much competition, then obviously you are in better position. But also the experiences are that if you have more similarly and interesting inclined institutions in one area, for example Chelsea in New York, where you have like 150 or over 150 galleries in one very small area, it's not about competition. That's the main thing. It's not about competition, it's about opportunity. People have opportunity to see more things in different perspectives, different settings, different agendas, and that's always mutually beneficial. So maybe our perception is reasonably positive, especially in contrast with other institutions. But if there were more other institutions, maybe like us or some other different kinds of institutions, successful institutions, it always improves the general or the overall understanding or sensitivity or approach to visual art or culture in general.
You mentioned the perception or poor understanding of Dux on the part of the city authorities or the Ministry of Culture. Have they failed to support you in a way that you would have appreciated?
Oh, absolutely. I think they don't understand generally, I think, what is the attraction of the cities, today's metropolis. The fastest growing segment of tourism is a cultural tourism. That's well-known fact. It's the repeated opportunity for tourists to come. It's not that once they come, they see a fantastic medieval architecture, cities, fantastic baroque and so on, but they see it, they go, and they are not coming back. But if you have a program which is changing every 3 months, then you have opportunity to come again, and that's the kind of tourists which cities should be interested in. But that's the very practical business-like approach to tourists, but there is also the general level of culture. There is a awareness of values which are much more subtle, and they are far, far deeper. And for me, what is incomprehensible is the fact that, okay, you have 4 guys, idealistic or stupid enough to put 250 million, quarter of billion crowns, into a project for which they didn't expect any contribution from anyone. Now the place is finished. We are running programs which cost around 40 million crowns a year. The city gives us 5 million crowns, which is around 13-14% of our budget, and that's it. And they don't realize that for them it's the godsend thing. We are quite well known outside of Czech Republic. We have fantastic articles written about us in many important magazines and newspapers. And this is all free publicity for City of Prague.
Docks opened in late 2008. How satisfied are you with development so far at the institution here?
Well, I'm very happy. It has to be said that we are learning. When the idea came, then after several years of construction, we started to operate the place, and then we realized so many things we didn't know and we were learning. But now we are more or less happy and able, I mean stable enough to program things in a more confident manner. I'm very happy. It went beyond what I expected. Originally I thought there would be like 3-4 exhibitions, major exhibitions a year, 10 exhibitions perhaps, and in fact it's over 25 exhibitions and many accompanying and educational programs and many other activities, and we are involved in so many parallel programs which goes with this kind of institutions that we feel very active and contributing.
Leo Schwalka of the prestigious Docks Gallery was speaking to Radio Prague's Ian Willoughby. And now we are rounding off our regular weekday program for you with ABC, our popular Czech language learning program brought to you by Pavla Horáková.
Hello and welcome to another episode of our new Czech teaching series, explaining Czech idioms with wild animals. Today we look at a much feared beast of prey, the wolf. The Czech word
vlk
is of the same Indo-European origin as the English or German term. The wolf is an age-old enemy of humans, threatening their flocks of sheep, as well as little girls dressed in red, strolling on their own in the woods. The wolf is a ravenous beast, and it is no coincidence that this phrase has been coined.
Mít hlad jako vlk.
To be hungry like a wolf. A hungry wolf can cause grave damage to your livestock, but sometimes it is possible to feed the proverbial wolf without losing a single animal. Czechs call it to give the wolf its feed and keep the goat whole.
Vlk se nažere a koza zůstane celá.
The figurative meaning is to please someone without having to sacrifice anything, or to please both sides.
Vlk se nažere a koza zůstane celá.
The wolf is also known to appear suddenly and unexpectedly. Hence the expression
My o vlku a vlk za humny.
Translated into English, we are talking about the wolf and the wolf is in the backyard, or talk of the devil and he appears.
My o vlku a vlk za humny.
To confuse us, a cunning wolf can disguise itself as an innocent animal. He can put on sheep's fleece to become
vlk v rouše beránčím,
a wolf in sheep's clothing. A lone wolf is
vlk samotář,
while this collocation
mořský vlk
means an old sea dog, an old sea salt. Wolves can scare us just by howling. There is a proverb on wolves and howling, which we'll end the program with.
Kdo chce s vlky býti, musí s nimi býti.
He who wants to be with the wolves must howl with them. Or, with foxes, one must play the fox, or when in Rome, do as Romans do.
Kdo chce s vlky býti, musí s nimi býti.
So now we're off to practice. Naschledanou!
ABC was brought to you by Pavla Horáková, and I'm afraid that's all we have time for today. But please do tell us if you have any thoughts at all on what you've heard on the show. You can either mail us to Vinohradská 12, 12099 Prague 2. You can write us an email to english@radio.cz. Or, of course, you can find us on Facebook and leave a comment so other listeners can see what you've had to say. As always, also, everything you've heard on the program can be found at radio.cz, our website. There is a huge archive of reports and features available on that site in both text and audio form, and you also have the opportunity to sign up there for a free news email to keep updated on all the news in the Czech Republic, and you can use our podcasting. We'll talk to you again soon, but until then, from me, Sarah Borůvka, and from all of us here at Radio Prague, thank you very much for listening, and bye-bye.